Hello there, Habit Mechanics, and welcome to a very specific podcast, which is aimed at helping senior leaders, people involved in the C-suite of a business, when they're considering bringing in some training, a training workshop, or a keynote speaker to their organization to help their organization and to help them perhaps improve their leadership, to help them get their team to become truly high performing, to work on the culture of their organization. All these things we know senior leaders have to consider in their roles. I'm joined by Dr. John Finn. John, great to be with you again. Hello there, and thanks for talking to us today. Now, I know we wanted to do this podcast because you're hearing an increasing amount of feedback and you're hearing from a wide variety of senior leaders in different organizations and in different countries even, that many of their people are not doing well. They are being damaged even by the way our modern world is so rapidly changing, and they're looking for solutions and they need some help. So it is almost an emergency situation. I know you're not shy in pointing that out, are you?
Yeah, I think we're living in a period of history where it's harder than ever to create an engaged, high-performing workforce. We can see that in the data. We can see in the UK, for example, we have 1.5 million people who are signed off on the sick because they have anxiety and depression. What I think about is wherever that line is to get signed off for anxiety and depression, how many more people are queuing at the other side of it? And then if you look at the US, you've got 58 million adults with a mental health diagnosis. And we can see the real term economical impact of this as well. So if you get a mental health diagnosis, this is the US data, between the ages of 27 to 35, by the time you get to age 50, your average earnings are 24% lower than people that didn't have a mental health diagnosis in that period. That shows you the real world economic implications of this. Mental health and high performance are completely interconnected ideas. Again, worryingly in the UK, the NHS are projecting that in 15 years' time, there will be 9.1 million working age people with long-term illnesses, cancer, dementia, depression. And I think with the workload senior leaders have, then they are going to face the brunt of that because they are at the cutting edge and they are the ones who are, you know, at the sharp end of decisions and pressure. And the 15-year figure, so 9.1 million people, that's a 37% increase on where we are right now. And I think that And at that point, there will only be an extra 4% of working age people that have entered the workforce. But the thing I find most challenging is we also live in a period of history where we have apparently more support than ever to help people to be at their best. But it can't work, can it? It doesn't work because more people are struggling. And I would say certainly we see in the UK, we've just seen it in the last few weeks, we see the figures from the Exchequer. These challenges are systemically damaging the UK economy. And if they're systemically damaging the UK economy, I would imagine they're systemically damaging all other developed economies, because we need our people to be healthy and happy to do the jobs that we need them to do. And the same, you know, as senior leaders, we need to help ourselves to be healthy and happy to do the jobs that we need to do as well. So we've got a huge problem on our hands, and the senior leaders in organisations, C-suite, are the ones trying to solve this problem in order to help the business actually achieve its mission.
Yeah, and I know you want to help senior leaders choose the right sort of training that can really provide solutions to these ever increasing problems, and you have a 4-point checklist, if you like, that you would go through with them to make sure that any training, any keynote, really delivers value for them and really helps them work on things like their leadership, getting their team performing well, and perhaps even their culture. And the first one on the checklist, the first item on the checklist, is to ask if the training, if the keynote, is based on the latest understanding of how we work as people, i.e. how our brains work.
Yeah, and this links back to the fundamental flaw with traditional approaches to helping people to be at their best, to helping leaders to be at their best. It's that whether it's the self-help, the workshops, the training, the coaching and the therapy, all that stuff was developed before we actually understood how brains work. We've only been able to look inside human brains for about 20, 25 years. Most of the theoretical models we're using to inform the things that we do to help people to be at their best were designed, some of them up to 100 years ago, if not the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, all way before we understood how brains actually work. And the basic assumption, I guarantee you, that underpins probably every single training you've ever done or every single training you've ever brought in for your people, the basic assumption is, if we can get our people to know this, they'll be able to do it. So what we need to do is to get them to know what to do. The trouble is, new insights from behavioral science and neuroscience show people don't do what they know they should do. They do what they're in the habit of doing. That's why most people don't walk 10,000 steps a day, even though they agree they should. Most people don't eat 5 portions of fruits and vegetables a day. That's why the National Health Service still spends over half its annual budget on treating diseases that emerge because people don't do those things. That's why when you have a nice conversation with one of your direct reports about their communication style and they need to be a bit less aggressive and a bit more positive, even if they agree it's a good idea for them to do that, it's why more often than not, they don't change their behavior because we don't do what we know we need to do. We do what we're in the habit of doing. So it's so, so key that anyone we're bringing into our organization to help us to do better, I want to be asking them, how does my brain work? How do our people's brains work? And how does your training help them to get their brains work better? So, so, so key that the provisions we're bringing in for our people or for ourselves as leaders and our leadership teams, that they're underpinned by cutting-edge insights, not only from neuroscience, but also from behavioral science, the science that explains why we do what we do. Has to have that foundation. When you go to get your medical checkup or you go see the doctor, you expect them to have an in-depth understanding of your physiology. Well, you should also expect people that are coming in to help with human performance to understand how brains work and how their training helps people's brains to work better.
Yeah, thanks, John. That's really profound. The second thing, the second item on your checklist is that any training, any keynote, etc., should enable people, empower them to analyze themselves, to do what you call self-watching.
Yes, and intelligent self-watching, we very deliberately say. You will hear many prominent neuroscientists talking about how psychometrics are outdated, they're damaging, they're about as predictive as horoscopes. Yet we're still using them. So the root of all psychometrics is about 100 years ago. 100 years ago. And we're still using them as if they are like the latest, best, shiny new thing. They're deterministic. They're outdated because they are based on the assumption that humans are very fixed and rigid and that genetics are the dominant thing that drive us. And what insights from neuroscience have shown is that is not the case. Our brain is malleable. It's changing all the time. So what we actually need to do is take a different approach and make it easier for ourselves as leaders, but also for our people to understand themselves in a self-determining, science-backed way. And that's why we created our habit metric tools. We have habit metric tools for everybody in the organization. We also have very special ones for leaders so they can analyze their leadership across four different areas and understand what they're doing really well, but also understand which areas they could get even better at. And this is so, so key because we want to help people to not only understand themselves, but be empowered to take positive action. So, you know, any really powerful training is going to start with helping people to learn more about themselves in a simple, practical, science-based way. So it's key that we're aware of that, and that we're proactively looking for suppliers that are going to help us to do that.
Yeah, thanks, John. Let's move quickly on. The third item on the checklist is that any training should equip people, should give people practical tools that they can start using immediately.
Yes, so this is another thing. Again, if we go back to the knowing idea, we got them to know what they needed to do so they'll be able to go away and do it. Yeah, I think a good sort of metaphor here or analogy is, imagine you've recognized that you need to get better at managing your customers' data, the customers that you want to sell new things to. So you want to bring in a new CRM system. Imagine if you didn't bring the software in, you just brought in someone to talk about the types of things it would be helpful for them to do in order to manage customer data better, and they left the room and that was it. Well, of course you don't do that. You bring in a new software system that people get habitualized to, so it changes the way that they manage customer relationships. When it comes to human performance, we just bring someone in that talks, gives some more knowledge typically, and then people leave the room and go, that was interesting. But then they put the notes in their desk and they don't do anything. So as a minimal, what we need is the people we're bringing in to share some tools, some practical tools that people can actually use to help themselves, to help the team, to help us as leaders to do things differently. And in our system, we've created over 35 habit mechanic tools. And that includes our chief habit mechanic tools and our team power leadership tools. So we've created a range of tools, and it's a bit like a gym, a metaphorical gym for your mind, where instead of having the exercise machines, you have these tools that you can use to help you on very specific things. Like, we have tools for building better sleep, diet, and exercise habits so people can get their brains working really well. Tools for helping people to manage stress, for building confidence, for performing under pressure, for being more focused and productive, for learning faster, whether they're doing exams or they need to get up to speed more quickly on new systems in the organization. But we also have tools to help people to build more efficient and effective and powerful teams. We have our five-stage team power tool, and we also have leadership development tools. We've got our four-stage team power leadership model, where we not only have habit assessment, leadership assessment tools, but we also have very specific tools to help leaders to build better habits. So that's why we created those, because we know how essential it is to not just help people to understand what it would be a good idea for them to do differently, but to give them the simple, practical, science-based tools that they can use every single day to change their behavior.
Yeah, that's very, very, very important, as you say, John. And now the fourth and final item on any checklist for a senior leader thinking about bringing in a keynote speaker or booking some training for their organization is that does that training, does that content help their people to start building helpful habits for the long term? That's a long-term journey, isn't it, John?
Yeah, so this again ties into, I went to a talk and it was good and it was interesting. And even if I got a tool to use, and this tool's really good, so I learned how to use, like, one of our tools is the Willpower Story. Fantastic, it's great. But the chances still are that when they leave the room, they may use it once or twice, but they'll just default back to their old habits, what they always did. So what we also need to do in the fourth step is help people to understand the behavioral science, so that they can get it working for them instead of against them. So right now, your organization and everything that everybody thinks and does is driven by nine core factors. So we often think as motivation, if we can motivate our people, that is the key to changing their behavior. Motivation is one of nine factors that drives people's behavior. If we know what those factors are, we can get them working for us. I think and believe that we have the most powerful behavioral science model out there because we've gone so deep into it. We show people how to use that for themselves. We show them how to build habit building plans so that they not only know how to use, for example, a willpower story, we show them how to build a habit building plan so they can actually put that into practice and get that behavioral science working for them. But we also actually show senior leaders how they can use those nine factors to supercharge their culture and make it easier for people to build and sustain helpful habits for their personal performance, but also for their lives outside of work as well. And this is the key to helping people to be really engaged. And what we see is when you put all that together, we've shown time and time again that we can help people to unlock what we call their 25-hour brain. So their 25-hour brain is essentially helping people to do focused, high-impact work 5 hours a day, 5 days a week. And for me, that is the pinnacle of high performance. Most people are not even doing 1 hour of focused high impact work per day. They're just caught up in busy, busy, mindless habit work where they feel good in the moment because they're getting things done, but they get to the end of the day, they haven't accomplished anything meaningful, and they beat themselves up and they worry, and that's where all this an the anxiety and the mental health issues come in. We want to help people to be able to focus and bring their best self to the work that they're doing by activating what we call their high charge brain states. And also the issues that senior leaders are facing is that artificial intelligence is getting much better than human beings at doing the habit-based work. You know, already in the last few weeks, I've seen multiple systems that we're considering bringing into our business that automate a lot of the things that we currently do manually. So actually, what we want is a workforce of people that are able to activate their 25-hour brains, because we're going to replace the busy habit stuff with automation. So we see that even if people say they're doing really well and they're highly motivated and they're pretty skilled at managing themselves, we can still help those people by working through those 4 steps. We can still help those people do an extra 1 hour of high impact work per day. That's an extra 5 hours per week. That's an extra 20 hours per month for the people that say they're already doing really well. And then people that are struggling, we can help them to do an extra 4 hours to 5 hours per day because they're not even doing, you know, 1 hour currently of high impact work. So that's an extra 80 hours per month. So as leaders, when we're investing in this type of training, we want to see what is the tangible return on investment here. And that's why we've gone to lengths to really demonstrate that our program that does activate those 4 factors gives you that tangible return on impact where your people are much better able to do high impact, high quality work every single day, which is the key to helping the organization achieve its mission.
Now, thanks, John, so much for that, walking us through those 4 points on the checklist. Really useful, I'm sure, for senior leaders, and really helpful. I know you're making yourself available to talk to people under no obligation to help them understand how to design and think about what sort of training and keynotes they should bring in. Just let us know how they can get in touch with you and what you can do with them.
Yeah, so I'm just happy to guide people first and foremost. So if you want to learn more about what you need to be looking for, learn more about what you need to do to design some really good training for your people, then let's just jump on a call and I'll just happily help you to take these insights and make a practical plan for the teams and people that you want to help. And then if we can help you, we'll happily do that as well. But just happy to, first of all, help people to design the training so that they have less chance of falling into these traps. My mission is to make it as easy as possible for people to be at their best. So, you know, having these conversations is very rewarding for me just by itself. So yeah, you can contact me via the link below and let's have a conversation, and happy to help you design the training.
Yeah, well, John, many thanks for your time. I would encourage everyone to take up that opportunity. As John says, you can find more in the link in the podcast notes or visit the website tougherminds.co.uk. John, thanks very much for your time once again. And to everybody listening, thanks indeed. See you soon.